Acts chapter 11, beginning with the last part of verse 26 and reading through verse 30. This is the word of the Lord. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. Now in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. And one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. This is the word of the Lord. It was in Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians. And having read Acts chapter 11, it is not difficult to understand why. For it was in Antioch that we first see a great number of Gentiles turned to the Lord and brought into his church. And here we see how it is not only our theology that shapes the church. It is also the church that shapes our theology. And it is right that it should be so. For if theology is, in the end, the knowledge of God, where else should it be studied than in the place of his dwelling? We learn theology by studying him. By studying God and his works. And he has no greater work than this, the church. The church is the greatest of his works. The church, which is his temple, the body and bride of his son. As we study her, we study him. As we study her, we learn his heart for her. And we learn to cherish what he cherishes. And one thing that we learn from him is that he does not make distinctions. And he is not swayed by appearances. He knows what is in us. And he has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, such that we all are one in him. In him there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is even no male and female. We are all one in him. And though the gospel was to the Jew first, it is also to the Gentile. And this is the mystery of Christ, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. And we know this to be true, not only because we have been told it, but because we see it, because we see it in the church. It is in Antioch that we first see Jew and Gentile dwelling together as those fellow heirs, as members of the same body, as partakers of the same promise. And so we readily understand why those in the Church of Antioch were the first to be called Christians. For if in Christ they were one, why should they continue to be called by different names? Why should they be called Jew and Gentile? Why should they not be called by one name? A name that reveals what was most true of them. That they did not belong to themselves. They belonged to him. That their allegiance was not to a nation, but to his kingdom. And for this reason, it was right that they should all be called by his name. That they should all be called by one name. No longer would they be Jew and Gentile, but Christian. Let us not overlook the significance of that name. For how easy it is to fall into the temptation to obsess over our differences and to overlook all that unites us. One body, one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. It is easy to see the church as a community of preferences instead of what it really is, a communion of saints. And as our own confession puts it, as our own confession movingly states, this communion, it is to be extended unto all those who in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Can it then be coincidence that Acts chapter 11 ends with one of the greatest expressions of that communion. The sending of relief to those in need. For having learned to extend this communion to one another in Antioch, how could they not extend it to those who were far off? For the church is one not only in one place, it is one in every place. It is one in all places. In Acts chapter 11, verse 27, we are told that prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. And one of them foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. Although it is not the focus of what we here read, it is worth stopping here for a moment and reflecting upon one of those gifts given by God to the church. One of those gifts given to the church by her Lord in his ascension. In Ephesians chapter 4, we are told that those gifts include the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. And here in Acts chapter 11, we see one of those gifts at work. We see it in those prophets who came to the church in Antioch. And these prophets, they resemble the prophets of old. These prophets, they were like the prophets of old. What is true of the prophets in the Old Testament is true also of these prophets in the New Testament. Here we are told that they, like those prophets that came before them, we are told that they spoke by the Spirit. In the New Testament, just as in the Old Testament, a prophet was one who spoke by the Spirit. His words, they were not his own words. His words were from the Lord. His words were the words of the Lord. To ignore that prophet was to ignore the Lord. To listen to that prophet was to hear the Lord. And what that prophet spoke, it was spoken to the church. It was spoken for the church. And for what purpose? That the church might be built up. That the body might take heed of what its Lord has spoken. And that is what the church in Antioch does. It receives that word as the word of the Lord, and it does not doubt its truth. But see how they responded to it. Imagine that you were told that there would be a great famine. A great famine over all the world. What would you do? Would not the logical response be to stock our shelves with all that we could find, with all that they could hold, and perhaps build storehouses that we might hold even more? But what did the church in Antioch do? Church in Antioch. She does something unexpected. Something that defies reason. Something that almost seems mad. The saints in Antioch. They determine not to store up for themselves, but to send to others, to send relief to the church in Judea. Now we might suppose that there was a reason for this. That it was somehow understood that the famine would be worse in Judea. But the text does not say that. We never hear that the famine would be worse in Judea. What do we hear? That the famine would be great over all the world. Perhaps we should not assume that relief was sent to Judea from Antioch because the famine was to be worse in Judea than in Antioch. Perhaps instead, we should assume something else. Perhaps instead, we should assume that the saints in Antioch were more concerned for their brothers than for themselves. For that is the law of love. That is the way of Christ. That is the communion of saints. Love gives. It gives not only out of plenty. It gives also out of want. And the one who gives out of want, he does not give less than the one who gives out of plenty. Rather, he gives more. The sending of relief from Antioch to Jerusalem. It is not a calculation based merely upon need. It is a gift measured by love. For who is the one who loves? The one who gives? Or the one who receives? And that is why God is love. Because he is the one who gives. And he gives all that he has. He gives all that he is. Do you doubt it? Whoever doubts it, let him look at his hands. How many hands do you have? Man has been made with two hands. In whose image were you made? You were made in the image of God. Let us then look to his two hands and see what is held forth, a gift in each. The gift of the Son and the gift of the Spirit. He gives to us all that he has. He gives to us all that he is. But see, he is not made poor by giving all that he is and all that he has. For the one who gives all is rich in love. And we see this in his Son, the one who made himself poor for our sake. The one who made himself nothing, that he might give you everything. You are called by his name. What then does it mean to be conformed to his image? What does it mean to bear his likeness? We see it in the church in Antioch. The church in Antioch learned the way of Christ. Upon hearing of a famine, one that would be great over the whole world, the saints there did not first think of themselves, but of their brothers. But you say, shall we look only to the needs of others? Shall we make ourselves poor that others might become rich? That is what our Lord did. And you have the freedom in him to do the same. But do not fear. Do not worry. We are not told that the church in Antioch made itself poor, that the church in Jerusalem might become rich. Rather, we are told that each gave according to his ability, that relief might be given to those in need. And this is the communion that we have with one another. Not that one should be poor and another rich, but that not one among us should know want. Let us then heed the example of our brothers long ago. And let us strive to bear the image they bore. The image of our Lord. The image of our God. Let us then open our hands and with them offer relief, that we may never be poor in love. Amen.